Well, welcome to Ralphie Thoughts and Prayers. It's a wonderful thing to be able to come and to share my heart with you every week in a lot of ways. Now, this is about Pastor's Thoughts and Prayers, and this is more of a prayer than anything else. Maybe, as you know, Judy announced in church last Sunday that she had to go through another set of chemo. Some of her cancer had come back. She didn't know it was back, but in a routine check with what they call a PET scan, they found that some of her cancer had come back. So her doctor, Dr. Morris, here in town, by the way, Tallahassee has a high-class cancer center, for lack of a better term, and he said, you know, we need to get this right away, and also think about maybe going to Shands for a stem cell transplant, because this kind of cancer that she has a tendency to come back. So if you go through all the treatments and to get rid of the cancer complete, that leaves you a candidate for a stem cell transplant. Amazingly enough, with the modern technology, the stem cell transplant is really her own stem cells. It's fascinating. But I thought maybe this is, because there's a lot of people struggling with sickness and illness and all kinds of things, and we're always looking for healing. Now, for the sick, the concept of healing is a new lease on life. Sickness is deficiency, something wrong or something missing. She asked the doctor that, why'd it come back? And he said, bad luck. Well, the sick in the body has limitations. That's restricted freedom of movement, sometimes freedom of capabilities, and even freedom to enjoy life. Oh, to be released from sickness. You know, our scripture this week is in John chapter 9. It was about the healing of the blind man that was blind from birth, and he did it with spittle and mud and all that, and he healed the blind man. So healing may also be a restoration of the soul sometimes, because sometimes just a plain old soul gets sick, and you need restoration of our soul, because we are body, mind, and spirit. The mind is really our soul, which is the intellect. But sin is the ultimate sickness, eating at the core of our soul, but sometimes spilling out on our physical life, our mental life, our social life, our moral life, and our well-being. And healing from sin comes from a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Now, we're not promised eternal life here on this earth, but we are promised eternal life whenever we depart from this earth. But in the meantime, we got to deal with this earthly stuff. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trials and tribulation, but fear not, I've overcome the world. And he says that we need to do some things. So I want to do something a little different. There's a lot of preachers and so forth, and you can buy tapes and different things about all the scriptures in the Bible about healing to encourage us. And this is what I want to do. There's a lot of them, so bear with me. Now, you can look all these up for yourself, too. And the question is this, from what do we need to be healed? Luke 8:42. His only child was dying, a little girl, 12 years old. Mark 1, verse 40. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. We all long to be healed from sickness and disease, I'm sure. And then in Isaiah 61:1, he had sent me to comfort the brokenhearted. Now, Jesus in the prophet Isaiah was talking about Jesus come to heal the brokenhearted and the need for healing and restoration. Psalm 30, verse 11. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. I think we all need healing from sorrow, don't we? Read Psalm 30. Psalm 55, 20. As for this friend of mine, he betrayed me. We need to be healed from the pain of betrayal. I don't know if you've ever been betrayed but I have, and I've forgiven all of those who betrayed me. Jesus even forgave the old boy that betrayed him. Judas. The problem with Judas, he didn't accept his forgiveness before he hung himself. But if he would have turned and asked for forgiveness, we wouldn't have had Judas hanging himself. Anyhow, I digress. Psalm 55:20. As for this friend of mine, he betrayed me. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the great gift of God is eternal life. Psalm 103:3-4. He forgives all my sin. We, all of us, need to be healed from sin. You know, sin come into this world back in the garden. And we were what we call as a Protestant. We were born into original sin. So we all need to be healed from sin. Some of us sin more different ways than others. But sin's a sin. Called by any other name, it's a sin. Okay, preacher, so how does God heal? 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 7. Make an ointment from figs and spread it over the boil. They did this, and Hezekiah recovered. God heals through physicians and medicine. Psalm 119:93, longest psalm in the Bible, says, I will never forget your commandments, for I have used them to restore my joy and health. Mark 3:5. Then he said to the man, reach out your hand. The man reached out his hand and it became normal. That was from leprosy. Luke 5:12-13. Lord, he said, if you want to, you can make me well again. Jesus reached out and touched the man and said, I want to be healed. And through miracles, you know, God's still in the miracle business. Mark 2:1-5. They couldn't get to Jesus through the crowd, so they dug through the clay roof above his head. You remember that story? And seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my son, your sins are forgiven. And then through the faith of friends, we call that intercessory prayer. Psalm 6:2. Heal me, Lord, for my body is in agony. And in James 5:13-16. This is one of my all-time, I got a lot of favorite scriptures, but this is one of my favorites. Is anyone among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them. Now, the elders of the church are not elders in United Methodist Church. The elders of the church is mature believers. And we are called then to ask our brothers and sisters who are mature in the faith, if anybody's sick, we call upon them and they pray for us. And then healing comes through prayer. Isaiah 38:16 said, Lord, your discipline is good and it leads to life and health. And he also heals through discipline. Genesis 27:41. Esau hated Jacob, if you remember. Then Esau ran to meet him and embraced affectionately and kissed him, and they were both in tears. So, healing comes from those disciplines of love and forgiveness. And also through time. Isaiah 53:5 said, he was wounded and crushed for our sins, and he was beaten that we may have peace, and was whipped as we were healed. That's a prophecy in Isaiah, and we know that's exactly what happened to Jesus. He was wounded for our transgressions. And then, by death. By death, Christ bought us life. Through the wilderness, he brought us by his healing. And accepting our punishment, he set us free. That's the most wonderful thing. Through the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and with the resurrection, he broke that bondage over sin and death. He put Satan in the place where he belongs. Jesus always said, when you get in trouble, just say, hey, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. So we have, even though we have trials and tribulations, the hope that we have in Christ through the death, the burial, and the resurrection frees us from all the sins that we have a challenge with, including death. absent from the body, present with the Lord, the scripture says. So we have that wonderful promise of eternal life. And then, not only that, Jesus promised to come again. I'm looking for that day, and possibly if we are alive and well when he returns, we won't experience physical death. But if he doesn't come, we hang on to the blessed hope. Why doesn't God heal all people? In 2 Corinthians 12, 8, 9, it says, "My power works best in your weakness." Well, God's power is magnified through our weakness and infirmities. If we allow him to work within us, he will touch us and heal us in miraculous ways. Okay, so this comes to another question that's always hard about healing. How do I deal with it when I'm not healed? 2 Corinthians 12:10. "Since I know it is all for Christ's good," Paul said, "I am quite content with my weakness." So we can look forward to having God's power work through us in a special way. And when God works through the weakness and through the weak, it's obvious, not the weak 7 days weak, but weak in our infirmities, it's obvious that when that occurs and it happens because of him, it'll show the world his love and his power. Oh, here's the best one. You know, it is always said that laughter is good for the spirit. So laughter can, and we need laughter. We need good, clean laughter. Thank God there's a lot of clean comedians that are coming back, Christian comedians. And so, and we need to laugh in church, you know, all during COVID. That was my whole thing, that we needed to laugh. So there for a long time, we haven't done it lately, but we tried to have holy humor before the start of the church service. Because laughter can bring health and healing, and while discouragement can bring sickness. Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. This is my thing. The devil says, "An apple a day will keep the doctor away." Well, Ralphie, through the book of Proverbs, said a proverb a day can keep the devil away. Proverbs 17:22, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength." Promises from God. Psalm 147:3, "He heals the broken heart." Malachi 4:2, "God will heal us and restore us." You know, we're here to have a relationship with God, and we have an assignment that God has given to us. And we don't think much about that, but we come into this world, and God give us a spirit because we are a spirit. He is a spirit, and we get connected and come into this world. And we have an assignment. I am always convinced that God will never call us home until we complete what he called us here to do. Well, anyhow, intercessory prayer. There's prayers on our list. As you click on the slides of the pastor's thoughts and prayers, you'll see the list that people that we have on the prayer line at church, individual prayers. But you know, I think one of the most important things about prayer, when Jesus was on the cross and he gave up the ghost, as the scripture said, now there was a temple and there was a veil in the temple that only the priests could enter into the Holy of Holies. The common people were outside. They had to go to the priest or go to the rabbi or something and say, "Rabbi, would you pray for me?" Well, when Jesus gave up the ghost on the cross, guess what? That veil in the temple was rent in two, signifying that we had direct access to the Holy of Holies through Jesus Christ. He is the key of David. So we don't need a priest. We don't need a 1-800 number. We don't need anything other than going directly to the Father. And the disciples recognized that when Jesus was here on earth and he went off by himself and they come back, "Lord, why do you go off by yourself?" "Well, I need to talk to Daddy. I got direct access to Daddy, and they said, can we get direct access to Daddy? He said, yeah, you can. He said, I want to give you a prayer to model all of your prayers after, because you can go directly to the Father just like me. And this is the prayer he taught as we pray it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, I hope you got something out of my little teaching, or whatever you want to call it, about how the scriptures are full of hope and love and grace for healing in the spiritual sense, in the physical sense, and always. You know, because God wants well-trained saints in heaven, so we got to learn all this stuff so we can help others. Have a blessed day.